You know, we're thrilled when we get new things. As you think about Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, birthdays. Think about concerning a game system that you might receive, maybe a new cell phone, maybe a car, a house, a computer, whatever you think. You're thrilled and excited about that at first. Maybe you're excited about new relationships, you know, with new friends, brethren, spouse, have children. It's a joyous time. Going to a good college, getting a new job, it's a thrill. Maybe even find a new one, like Brian was able to find in Charleston, South Carolina. But the thing is that something new gets old as time goes by. That new house that you had, now you've got repairs on the house. Maybe you have rust on the car. At least we did in Florida. We have rust on our car. Technology gets outdated so quickly. That new cell phone gets old and now we need to buy a new one. The responsibilities of being married. Responsibilities of bringing up your children and the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And it gets difficult. Your work gets very hard, and maybe your boss maybe you get a new boss that's unkind and difficult. Well, you know, all these things can happen spiritually also. Think back to the day that you obeyed the gospel, as we've had the opportunity to experience those who obeyed the gospel this morning. You're so very thankful for the forgiveness of sins. You're on a spiritual high. You're on fire for the Lord. But then, you know, things kind of go down. You suffer through worries and persecutions and sufferings and division, maybe in the church. Maybe that's robbed you of your joy, possibly. So you're tired and frustrated. You're angry. You need to remember 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, concerning being in Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, he said, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." You can think about that joy, that having that same joy of when you first became a Christian, allowing yourself to be renewed in your minds. The powerful passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." To learn of the spiritual blessings we enjoy of sitting with Christ and the responsibilities of walking and standing with Him. We're going to have a lot of passion in the book of Ephesians, a lot of passion will be on the screen. Think about our former condition. When we were dead, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul reminding the brethren of where they were before, because sometimes, you know, you get to this point in your life whereby, man, isn't it great? I've done all these wonderful things, and I'm so great, and I'm so wonderful, and pride might become a problem. You need to remember where you have come from. You remember where the world is, as we have prayed this evening, as Gary had prayed this morning or this evening concerning those who are walking in sin. He prayed about that they might realize the truth. The Apostle Paul said, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too." All formerly, the Apostle Paul includes himself, "we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." The whole thing is to recognize this idea of by nature. We understand concerning that here it becomes a long period of practice. It's the way we were before, that we had this habit of living in sin. This is what we were before. We were dead in our sins and walking after the world, walking after Satan, walking after the flesh, but now our current condition being alive. And that should bring us joy as we think about each day is a day, should be a day of joy. We think about, I mentioned it last week concerning Thanksgiving being, should be a every day in the life of a Christian. It's a renewed joy, a renewed opportunity to rejoice in the Lord. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when, this is the amazing thing, even when we're dead in our trespasses and transgressions, God was merciful. He still provided that mercy that was available to us. His great love made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And so because of God's great love and mercy and grace, we who are dead in our sins are now alive with Jesus Christ. And we were buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6 and verse 3. And we rose to walk in newness of life. And now our current condition being raised with Christ in Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now some would immediately talk about concerning that. I thought, you know, concerning that, okay, that should be the future as you think about concerning in heaven and eternal life. No, you need to understand concerning presently now, raised us up with Him and seated us with Him, that's present tense, in the heavenly places in Christ. So we were dead in our sins. Now we are blessed to be raised up with Christ to walk in newness of life. And we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. I'm talking more about as far as that seated with Him in heavenly places in a few moments. So this new creature is sitting with Him in heavenly places. What is that? Well, that's in the spiritual realm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, because when we look at concerning Christ in Ephesians 1 and verse 20, it talks about the working of the strength of His might, the latter part of verse 19, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. This is where Christ rules at God's right hand, making intercession for the saints. We looked at it in chapter 2 and verse 6. This is where we sit with Christ, and this is where principalities learn of God's wisdom. In chapter 3 and verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And this is accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could have made another point concerning this morning's lesson on the church being according to God's eternal purpose. But here, concerning the heavenly places in the spiritual realm, the principalities learn of God's wisdom. And this is where we struggle here in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, oftentimes we think our problem was with flesh and blood human beings. If we truly understand this passage, we won't have any difficulties understanding who is behind all this evil. And all these individuals that you think are being evil towards you, you need to recognize the force behind that evil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we're all going through this and experiencing this every day of our lives. We're faithful Christians. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. The problem isn't with human beings, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, this is where we struggle against spiritual forces of wickedness. So sitting with Christ in heavenly places, we compare a form of position, dead in sin, now with Christ. Seated at God's right hand, we are seated together with Him. What a great blessing as we think about the power of prayer. In Ephesians 3, verse 11 and 12, we mentioned that verse 11 there. In accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. I think it's very unlikely that any of us have access to the president or access to the governor. Now, we can write and that sort of thing. We can have we can have correspondence concerning our congressmen and president, but not like this, to where we can have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. I don't maybe sometimes think that we truly appreciate what we have in Jesus Christ. As we think about the power of prayer, of having access to the throne of grace. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, that very powerful passage. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Isn't that amazing to you? It's amazing to me. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Not just more than we ask or think. And then He said, according to the power that works within us. But who gets the glory? To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want you to think about the fact that as those who would mock the Bible and say, well, you're just reading other people's letters. You know, you shouldn't be reading other people's mail and things like that and kind of maybe mock if you've ever heard people talk about that. We recognize concerning the power of this passage to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Of course, we think about this word is a living word. And God is very powerful that we can have access to the throne of grace and the power of prayer. And our position with Christ gives us this new mindset in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If you have been graced up with Christ, what should you be doing? We're faithful Christians. What are we doing? We keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. But what happens in our lives? The whole thing is concerning life, kind of drags us down to focus on all these physical things. And here's the devil working, trying to just focus on the physical things. Aren't things awful and terrible and wicked and sinful and evil? All these problems. He said, you set your mind on things above. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, another wonderful passage. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. It's sad and tragic as you think about concerning the news channels is 24/7. And the whole thing is that those who watch TV, there's going to be tragedies going on somewhere every single hour of every single day. And so here's a person who just got their, you know, their channel set to the news channels. And here it is. What kind of mindset is that individual going to have? And that's what it's focused on. Well, we know there's going to probably be very likely a lot of complaining, a lot of frustration, a lot of disappointment and just anguish concerning all those people that have died or those who are suffering in different areas. That doesn't mean, as we look upon this passage, that we just ignore reality. We're not talking about that, but we have that spiritual focus in our lives. Well, this new creature, along with sitting with Him in the heavenly places, walking in a worthy manner in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul is in prison while he is writing that. And we need to think about that as we are reading through the Bible and we think about whatever current situation that we are dealing with. We aren't in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. And to recognize concerning what kind of prisons they were back then. The Apostle Paul is encouraging the brethren here at Ephesus. He said, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. He not emphasized concerning, I'm under constraint. Complaining and being frustrated. Why me, Lord? Why? Why is this happening to me? Well, he understood concerning that being a faithful Christian, he is going to suffer for the cause of Christ. But he's going to emphasize even more that I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And so we're talking about this worthy calling as we think about Christ and what he has called us to do and what he suffered for us. What is the purpose of your calling? He talked about it, all the spiritual blessings we enjoy in Jesus Christ in chapter 1 and verse 3. And in the next verse, he said, you are to be what? You are to be holy and blameless before him in love. To be holy. This is the purpose. We have been called out to be holy and blameless in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. In Ephesians 1 and verse 5, he said, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. You think about those children who have been adopted. As you think about concerning that they who have been chosen, not the original parents, but here is one parents who love their children in our Father in heaven. That we can be, as you think about being Gentiles, being his beloved children through adoption and through that process that we become part of the family of God. So walk worthy of your calling in love in Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We all love it. I'm sure when we think about little children, 2, 3, 4, and they begin walking in our shoes. Isn't that interesting when you think about the imitation a lot of times concerning that walking in our shoes, wanting to be like us? Well, we want to be like our God who is holy and righteous. Be imitators of God as beloved children, to recognize we have been loved and walk in that love. He has loved us and we walk in that love. And we have the example of Jesus Christ, who every day, while he was here upon this earth, loved his disciples, loved those who were putting him to death. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We think about the terrible thing that Jesus had to suffer and die on a cruel cross. And yet, you think about what the Bible says here, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, because we're talking about the forgiveness of sins through that bloody sacrifice that he had to endure. As beloved children, we imitate our Father. We follow Christ's example in going out and preaching the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 8, you think about being in this situation where we had to be scattered to maybe not just another state, but another country. It's hard to possibly imagine, because we've been so blessed. We talk about all the blessings of being Americans, blessings of living in Texas. But what if we were persecuted whereby we were scattered somewhere else? And the great danger during that period of time of being put in prison for preaching the gospel, or maybe even suffering death. And yet, because of joy, here as Saul is breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, those disciples went everywhere preaching the word. And we know that the apostles were in Jerusalem. So we're talking about the individual Christians. Here they're going out preaching the word. Why? Because of Christ's sacrifice. They're walking in love. In 1 John chapter 3, we see what they did. We talked about that recently concerning the brethren, those about 3,000 souls that were baptized. Many came from every nation under heaven. And here, needy saints, and they took care of their needs. In 1 John 3 and verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. It's wonderful. We have our brethren that remember All of our brethren, we have so many that are in need to remember them, and that's good in our prayers. But also making the application to whereby we're actually seeing to their needs. And I know that many are seeing to their needs. Here we have been blessed with the world's goods, which we talk about often. Here is a brother or sister in Christ in need, but we close our heart against him. The question would be, how does the love of God abide in that individual? That's not what we learn from Christ. We learn sacrifice from our Lord. He sacrificed everything for us, and so we sacrifice for our brethren to preach the word, to save souls, help others in their time of need. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those in the household of the faith. And then also walk worthy of your calling as light in the world. We live in a wicked world of sin. In Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 6, immorality, any impurity, or greed must not even be named among you. Oh, it's so sad and so tragic that it being named, as you think about brethren in different places, or maybe even gospel preachers, one who should know better and preaching the gospel and the damage that does to the body of Christ, or maybe elders and deacons, and how sad and tragic that is. He said, must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. As you think about concerning the Catholic concept concerning that, oh, well, the saints, they're no living saints, or those who make the joke about, I'm no saint. What does that mean? I mean, the whole thing is we're saying I'm not a saint. We're saying I'm not set apart for God's service, because that's what saints are. Saints are holy, set apart for a service. That doesn't mean being sinlessly perfect, but here we are serving the Lord. We're practicing righteousness, and when we sin, we don't cover up or make excuses for it. We're confessing our wrongs. And so we can be in a state whereby we can be right with God, and we can have a good and a clean conscience. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Isn't that interesting? We think about concerning the individuals that just have so much fun and the filthiness and silly talk that is going on. Of course, jesting, the filthy jokes that are going on. Social media is rampant with this. These things aren't fitting among saints. And the great danger as to what is being put out there on Facebook concerning Christians. We need to be giving thanks instead of all of this, to recognize we've got to walk worthy of our calling as light in the world. And we put out these comments like that. It brings reproach on the Lord and on his church. You need to recognize this, you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or a covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And what's interesting concerning that, well, that kind of foolish, you know, concerning those who would bow down to idols that can't talk and see, and they would bow down to these idols, and yet people will bow down to the almighty dollar and their possessions or whatever money can buy. And this person who's a covetous man, the scripture says he is an idolater. No one like that has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So just as we talked about this morning, well, Satan's going to try to deceive people. He's going to have his ministers deceive people into believing a lie. But he said, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon who? Comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so Christians need to recognize that. We need to recognize that in our life. Walk as light by living a holy and righteous life. In continuation in verse 8, he said, don't be partakers with them. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Why are we going to know what is pleasing to the Lord? This is the wonderful thing, as you think about God's word. This is how we know how to learn to be pleasing to the Lord. And we all can understand it. We all can understand it alike. But we got to have the conviction that we are not going to be darkness anymore. We don't want to put out that light. We sing with the children a lot of times, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine. Oh, as children's song. Well, when you think about concerning, really the application concerning us as adults, as children of light, we are walking in light. We don't want to let Satan blow it out. We're learning to be pleasing to the Lord. So it's interesting as you continuation here, you know, when he says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even what? Even expose them. Oh, that's going to offend a lot of people, though. It's going to offend my coworker. It's going to offend my classmate. It's going to offend my neighbor. Okay, I just don't enjoy, I'm not going to join in, but to expose the unfruitful works or deeds of darkness and everything, that's going to make them mad, and I'm not going to be a good neighbor. They're going to look down on me if I do that. Well, how are they going to know concerning the difference between good and evil? Speaking the truth in love is what we're talking about here. But how many would join in with the unfruitful works of darkness by committing those sins we talked about earlier? Whether it's gambling or drinking or sexual immorality. All these sins are disgraceful. Here he said it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by what? By the light. You think about it, the light of truth is going to expose the evil deeds. For everything that becomes visible is light. We need to expose sin and not participate in it in our lives. And then standing firm. Think about concerning sitting and walking, and now we're standing. In Ephesians chapter 6, here's how we are going to be able to stand firm. It's a wonderful thing about God's Word and the plainness and simplicity of that. As you think about concerning being in this spiritual battle, we've got to put on our armor. But most individuals don't even realize they're in a battle at all because they don't recognize the devil is working or how he works. And yet the Bible tells us how he works. We are not unaware of his schemes, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul said, we know. And here is how you can stand firm. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. But we want to be strong in our might. Well, we are weak creatures. We think about, I'm going to just pick myself up by my own bootstraps, as the old saying goes, and so on. Well, our strength is going to fail. We got to depend upon the Lord. And how do we do that? We put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to what? To be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We read that passage in verse 12. There our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. And you think about concerning being strong, standing firm. The emphasis upon standing firm. How you can do that? Putting on God's armor to be strong enough. That's the only way that we're going to be strong enough. To stand firm against the devil and his allies. Otherwise, we're going to fail if we don't put on God's armor. He continues, said, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Truth? Your truth or my truth? Isn't that what you hear today? You have your truth and I have my truth. That's foolishness, isn't it? That's people trusting in their own feelings or emotions or concerning what man has spoken. There is an objective standard of truth, but everything is subjective to most individuals. People need to understand that there is an objective standard of truth that's going to judge us in the last day. And we can depend upon every word of God because every word is true. Thankfully, God's Word is infallible, inerrant, and inspired. guiding us in the paths of righteousness. And we can stand firm because as you think about the belt holding up your pants and holding everything together, everything is going to be held together by the truth of God's Word, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As you think about concerning, hey, we aren't going to be like the Muslims where we're killing individuals based upon their book. But here, the gospel of peace, because we want people to be reconciled to God and not be enemies as we see the Jews and Gentiles being reconciled in one body to God through the cross. Preaching the gospel, your feet, with the preparation, the gospel of peace. And so we have a positive thing as we think about standing firm in battle. We want to get the message and spread that message of Christ so that souls might be saved. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. What are you going to be able to do with the shield of faith? You're going to be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Not going to penetrate. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God is going to protect you from the evil one if you put on the whole armor of God. Notice that you think about the devil going to try to seek that weak link in the armor. If you have one weak link, here the devil is going to be able to penetrate if we don't put on the whole armor of God. We start running, we start retreating. Is there any protection from behind? No, there isn't protection from behind. He doesn't say anything about protection for the back, does he? If we retreat, it ensures defeat. We think about concerning victory in Jesus. We have sung before the lesson, victory in Jesus. We can stand firm in battle. We can overcome the devil. When you become a new creature, it affects where you sit, stand, and walk. As a new creature, you sit in the heavenly places in Christ. Why, that's a great blessing and a privilege. It doesn't matter how evil and wicked and sinful the world gets. You can always pray to God through Jesus Christ. You can go boldly to the throne of grace. Even if you're in prison, like the Apostle Paul was, he could pray, and they couldn't prevent him from praying unto God for help and for strength and for courage to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling, that we have a calling which we have been called to serve the Lord, to walk in love, to walk in light, and standing firm in the spiritual battle. I want you to think about the contrast with the wicked person and the righteous person here. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Notice the progression here concerning walking, standing, and sitting with the sinful versus seated with Christ. Walking wisely in his law and meditate and standing victorious at the end of battle. As we're meditating on the Word of God day and night, you see how we're going to be able to stand strong. If we are not meditating on it day and night, we think about how the devil has more influence in our lives, where we start to get discouraged and depressed and maybe stop praying as we should, stop attending as we should, and here the devil just takes over to whereby we start to make foolish arguments like, I'm more holy not coming to services. Foolishness like that. Very likely dabbling in more and more sin and deceiving ourselves into thinking, hey, we're all right. We still believe in God. Where are you tonight? Old in sin or new in Christ? We can be renewed daily. Aren't you thankful for that? We can be renewed daily, even as we are growing. Oh, why? Because we're focused on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where our focus is, and that's where our home is in heaven, if we have the right understanding. Do you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins this evening, or do you need to be restored in Christ? If you need the invitation, and just as it was this morning, thinking about it even after services, to obey the gospel of Christ, to be free from sin, to go from here rejoicing, be able to walk in newness of life, and walk worthy of the calling, walking as light and walking as love, standing firm in battle. But maybe you become weary in the battle, and it's just overwhelming. If you need the prayers of the congregation or you need to be restored, God calls, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing the Psalm of Encouragement.